Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. John, I'm telling you what, and this street preacher that they confiscated his Bible. What is this thing? He's confiscated his Bible and his amplifier. Was that in America?
This is in America, St. Louis.
No. In America, with the Constitution, with
yes,
the First Amendment?
Yes, with the Constitution, First Amendment, Bill of Rights.
It wasn't one of these crazy people who were hating on soldiers and stuff.
They call themselves Christians and they're mean
and hateful and all that. Yeah,
those are not Christians. I don't know what they're
right.
Those are not. Jesus wouldn't
Shh, don't
do
tell
that.
Them that. Yeah. Isn't that terrible? It's like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, it's
That's
just
horrible.
It's the devil, man.
Yeah, I'm glad that this community stomped that out.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we shared them on VFN radio, but they didn't get no access to that.
Yeah, those guys came down. As a matter of fact, you probably have a related article right here. If you listen to this on the torch, you can see it. About how one of our brave soldiers had lost his life, given his life for us. And one of these, and this is not that, this one I'm about to talk about, but the Americans and got around and just soldiers and police officers and everybody and just blocked out those people and you didn't even know they existed.
It was a wall of love. It was just completely all the way around. It was beautiful, really. I mean, pulled me off the interstate. I had to see what was going on.
Right.
Wow.
It was that great. Well, this pastor, actually, he's a St. Louis pastor, and he says he's called to preach the good news in the city streets. They actually took away his Bible. Yeah, listen to this, because he'd been reports on this. Took away his Bible and his amplifier and said he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't do it anymore.
Who's they?
Well, I believe it's a city, but the police is the one who's being interviewed. And they said that people were complaining because it was too loud. And so the pastor's saying, listen, I know that we can do it no higher than 75 decibels. I mean, he even had the decibels down.
Wow.
I mean, they knew their stuff.
We need to work on decibels.
I know it. But he knew he was within the parameter, but they cave into some sort of pressure. Why don't you listen to CBN as they share a little bit about it.
Group. A St. Louis pastor says he's called to preach the good news, not just in his church, but also on the streets of his city. And Aaron Brummett says he won't be silenced despite the fact that police confiscated his Bible and amplifier. The city says they are simply responding to complaints.
Yes, we filed the charges, but there are citizens who are claiming that he's disturbing their peace. So it doesn't matter what he's saying. The issue is how loud it's being said.
And that we can do it at no higher than 75 decibels, which we followed from the beginning, so we've never broken any laws. And we're not using the city's power to conduct our event. We're not blocking traffic. So we're following what the city has asked us to follow.
Brummett has been ticketed 9 times and, according to an Associated Press report, still has not gotten his Bible and equipment back.
Now, how crazy is that? And we were just talking not too long ago on Stand in the Gap, where they let all kind of just crazy things, people walking around nude, you know, and then even stop people walking around nude and indecent.
I told John to get his clothes on.
I tried.
Please.
You know? Lord, help me.
And yet someone who's sharing the good news, you know, the gospel.
Actually, it was patting his convertible.
Oh, we heard about that convertible.
Yeah,
one day you can tell us about that.
What convertible?
Want us to go there? Do you...
Like, all that moose, it didn't move. It just kind of
stayed there.
But the mullet in the back kind of flapped around a little bit, trying to get loose, get out the boot.
Okay, so back to street preaching.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. But this is important because we have, you know, our rights. My goodness, you know, you have the freedom of speech.
Well, the First Amendment, right. Let me read it right here. First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is a constitution is what you're made up of. It's what they say that they wanted someone to change, and it's like, if you change that, then who are we? This is this is what. And the First Amendment says the Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. In other words, you can make, and Congress is about lawmaking bodies. You can't make any law saying you can't do this or abridging the freedom of speech. And that's what this guy is doing, right? Religion, freedom of speech, exercising his right, or of the press. So even your local newspaper, radio, whatever reporter has that same privilege that he has to be able to do that. Or the right of people to peacefully assemble. If he's peacefully doing, I'm not blocking traffic, I'm moving at I'm speaking at 75 decibels. And to petition the government for redressing the grievances. And so it's written in the Constitution. It's his constitutional, it's his bill of civil rights in the Constitution.
They took his Bible. They took his Bible. Think about that. You walking in your street, you know, and someone's coming and say, let me have that Bible. Let me have your Bible.
Right.
And, you know,
which is the Fourth Amendment, where he says the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Civil Rights is the right of people to be secure in their person, their houses, their papers, their effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the person and things to be seized. You can't just walk up and take people's stuff, especially when you're not breaking any laws.
And you're not hurting anybody.
First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment is being violated. And think about it. Imagine if there was no Constitution, then you would just go, oh, well.
Exactly. Right.
Oh, that's well, and you'd be the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or pay the price and being put in prison and everything else. And this is what happens all across the world at different, you know, oppressive countries and leaders that they don't have a constitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking, you know, off air about Cuba, but in Cuba they just got the internet. They just got the internet. They allow their citizens to have the internet. And they
is it dial up or
I don't know what it is. They're all in this kind of
two
room.
Two cans and a string.
In a like internet cafe, and they're paying. They have to pay to use it. The government provides it. They have to pay to use it.
So it's the government's internet.
It's the government's internet.
They're not. They're not like the NSA. They're not probably thinking tracking anything, are they?
They have everything on lockdown in Cuba, but they're making this. They make them sign this paper saying you're not going to use this against our country. Okay. Anyway, they pay $4 to use this an hour when.
$4 an hour? That's economy down there. They don't have a lot of...
They get paid $20 a month. A month.
Can you imagine the pressure in that 1 hour? We got to knock some things out in this 1 hour.
Tell me about it. You just take so many things for granted living in America, and this is just another example. That's why we're sharing it. Not too long ago, we talked about a pastor who was told he couldn't get together and share on a service on a public beach, and it was hundreds that showed up to support, and they had a huge event, and it went off successfully. But you have to know your constitution. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And guess what? Nothing happened.
I encourage you that you need to get you a pocket copy of the U.S. Constitution. And maybe if you have a digital device, a digital download version of it. It's a little small. You can get a little small one. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the VFN Torch today, VFNTV.com, and click on the torch. And you can see a link there to be able to get you a pocket copy. And probably it'll take you right to Amazon.com or whatever. And you can just keep it. And just when you get spare time, just kind of look over and read. It's amazing when you read the Constitution. The preamble of the Constitution itself says, the very first thing it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, which is right up front letting you know, we're not talking about perfection here, just a more perfect one, to establish justice. And that was not just what happened to that man. Ensure domestic tranquility. I mean, you think about that. Fatherhood, a workplace violence, you know what I'm saying? Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for a common defense. Hey, let's just partner up with the Muslim Brotherhood. That will help us out. Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings. Think about that. Capital B, blessings. Blessings and capital L. Blessings of liberty to ourselves and our people that come after us, our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. I mean, why would we want to mess that up? Why in the world would we want to mess that up? And then the rest of the Constitution begins to describe this very thing that you watch on C-SPAN, government, and how it should look, how it should act, what its limits are, what it can do, what it can't do, how you can replace them, how you can take them out. I'm talking about executive, legislator, judiciary branch, all of it. That it's a government by the people and for the people, as spoken about in the Declaration of the Independence. And that's what we should really, you know, get back to that. And I encourage you, Because if and obviously this man was educated on, he took the time to find out, to operate within the context
within the laws,
of the Constitution and the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading this morning, and Jesus tells us, he says, listen, those in darkness hate the light, and they don't want anything to do with it. And so you're never, ever going to be able to share the light of God's truth. You can do the best that you could possibly be at sharing it. And that people who want to be in darkness, they're never going to be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always going to be a conflict between those who are in darkness and don't want light shine on them, because then it exposes what they're consciously, you know, going and doing and giving themselves over to, not necessarily, you know, a sin, but just, mm-hmm. this is who they are. And he says, they will have an adversarial attitude towards the light because they're in darkness and they don't want their life to be opened. But those who walk in the light, they're drawn to it. And I think one of the biggest issues that we fall into in America is political correctness, because the church can't be politically correct. First of all, the word politics means compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't call us to compromise. He just called us to join him and speak his word. So there's no compromise involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it doesn't mean you can't have a political government, but the church is not supposed to be political.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is what it is, which means you're not going to be able to change what God is saying to make someone happy, but we need to do our best at presenting it in a way it's conducive for them to be able to hear it. In one way is what we talked about early, to learn to walk in empathy towards people, listen to them, empathize with them, and then share the truth, versus standing on a street corner and yelling at someone and not connecting with them. You know, and prophet, God can call prophets to do that, especially as close as we are to probably what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I could see God calling basically men and women to street corners to begin to just prepare the way for what's about to take place. So I wouldn't be surprised. And God calls some prophets just to be unpopular. That's what their call is, like unpopular prophet.
Mm.
And pretty much if you look, they stoned them and killed the prophets. So most every one of them was considered unpopular.
I don't think Ezekiel had a big following at all.
No, I think Jeremiah had three converts.
Okay.
Three converts in the context of that. But obviously it was very important because he was preparing the way. He came in and was called by God towards the end of Josiah's reign, and he walked God's people prophetically into Babylonian captivity. I mean, he didn't walk them in, but he explained, okay, this is what prophecy is.
Right.
You know, repent, repent, repent. No, no, no. And they're all just, at that day, it was popular to walk in darkness, to walk against God, and everybody was for it.
Mm.
That's what it was like. It was like that when they went into Babylonian captivity. Which kind of describes how it is today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unpopular to say what God says. And it's actually more popular. I'm talking about the church now. The people call themselves the church. To talk about a diversion from God's word in kind of adjusted word, an appendix to his word. And you'll have more followings when you do things like there is no hell.
Right.
Right. So that says a big following, or the secret, you know, and all these other kind of things. They've got to change and everything. The blood is not really going to be. I mean, and you think about it, it has a big following. And this is what it looks like right before you go into Babylonian captivity. There'll be more people saying, our wrong is right. This is something, you know, God's different. God has changed. That was the old. Listen, that's written a long time ago. Things have changed. And what is ahead of a people who don't listen to what God is saying through the prophets, like Jeremiah, is they're going to walk right into captivity, right into captivity. And all their leaders that are all haughty and think they know everything. Well, this is what happened to Zedekiah, the king. He had to stand there and watch his sons, the leaders, his leadership, his cabinet. He had to watch them all murdered in front of him. And then they took and burned his eyes out. The last thing he saw was his sons being destroyed in front of him, and they took him into captivity. And then this is God's people now. And then God's people went in captivity for 70 years, I believe it was. And so Let's just turn.
Yeah.
And not burn. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.